Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app, the Preds continue to make the push for the playoffs, but the trade deadline looms. Tonight, we're going to get you ready for the big day as the king of hockey rumors, Eklund from HockeyBuzz.com, going to be joining us. It's all brought to you by Day One sponsor Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. And oh, by the way, they have furniture in stock and ready for immediate delivery. And of course, the man, Carter Church with KW Murfreesboro, your real estate expert. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson and the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. Coach, how are you tonight?
Doing good. How about you?
Oh, doing great. Doing great. Good show with Chase a little earlier, doing double duty tonight. And Zach, you know, it's been an interesting week of hockey.
It's been an interesting 10 minutes of hockey between Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac being traded for a king's ransom to the Islanders, and Philip Tomasino just scored a goal. So, you know, all kinds of things happening right now.
Yeah, you look at that. It's funny because I did see the lines for Chicago tonight, and that top line is all Preds or all ads, or as I like to call them, the Chicago walkie, you know, the Admirals. But it's an interesting thing to see that top line for Chicago really performing. It's also interesting to see, I think there's only one Preds prospect on the blue line. I think everybody else is up here in Nashville. And Brent, this team really seems to have adopted the next man up mentality. It doesn't seem to matter who goes down. This team keeps on fighting.
Yeah, we just got Carrier in time to get him playing good, and then he got hurt, and then Favreau, I don't know how bad he is. We haven't heard much from the Predators about him today, but and then they just keep coming, and they keep working hard, and they keep doing a great job. They're doing such a good job. We're getting good goaltending, number one. They're doing a good job defensively. The defensemen, they're moving the puck out fast, and they're not doing anything cute, and they're making good plays. And then you got Yossi and Ekholm holding down the fort for everybody and going when they need to go. And it's fun to watch our guys right now. They're playing hard. They're playing smart. They're playing disciplined. They're not taking any dumb penalties like they were at the beginning of the year. And they're just playing an all-around good hockey game.
You know, Zach, you look at last night's game and you talk about goaltending making a difference. UC Saros is the reason why that team was in the game going into the third period. And but you have to give the Detroit Red Wings credit. They played an almost perfect game last night to try and steal a couple of points, and it just didn't work out for him.
No, in a just and fair world, they would have won that game, but this world is neither just nor fair. So Nashville wins, take the 2 points, move on to tomorrow. Honestly, if UC Saros could figure out his first half of the season woes, that guy would be a perennial Vezina candidate. I don't know what happens when the year turns to UC Saros, but my goodness, he is unconscious right now.
It is fascinating to watch. And, you know, it's funny. I've seen a bunch of nicknames out on the interwebs today, and Slow Mo Joey, you know, Ryan Slow Hansen. I mean, that, and you know, the interesting thing, Brent, that move, not only is it effective, man, does it piss a goaltender off.
Well, if he uses it right, he'll be able to score forever because they'll be waiting for it, and then he can go back the other side and put it in. And now they don't know which way he's coming. But Slow Mo Joe is my favorite. Slow Mo Joe would be my favorite one.
Slow Hansen for me, I think, is the one.
But. Yeah, Slow Hansen works too. You know, it is fascinating, Zach, because you went into that shootout last night just knowing the Predators were going to get the extra point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what happened to this team, but overtime all of a sudden is very kind to the Nashville Predators. And frankly, I'm okay with that. So.
No question. You've got 10 out of your last 12. The team is really, you know, making its statement. We got no help from Dallas last night. I was texting with our guest last week, the PA guy for Dallas, saying, okay, you had one job. And they, you know, Chicago took it to them last night. I don't think Chicago's dead yet.
Hey, you know, I look at it this way, though. Chicago did us a favor because, honestly, we have so many games remaining against Chicago that I feel fine about them. And it's Dallas who seems to have our number right now. So at least it happened in regulation.
Oh, no question. And Coach, we find out this week, I mean, as I believe Chris Mason or one of the TV guys is calling it a Stanley Cup sandwich. You've got, you've got the Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday. You've got Dallas on Sunday. The Lightning back on Tuesday. Again, you're in that final 20. You're in that last stretch. And these games right here, you might be catching Tampa at either the exact right time or the exact wrong time, because Tampa's not playing good hockey right now.
No, I think they got ahead of everybody so far that they just shut her down for a while, and the players thought it was going to be easy, and it's never easy in this league. The league is too good, and you shut her down, you might not get her back for 20 games, 10 games, 5 games. It might take you that long, but they'll get it back, but they're not getting it back too soon, we hope. And you know what? We were always thinking Tampa was going to be first, and then Carolina, and then Florida, and then us and the other three teams were going to go in the last spot, but you know what? Carolina might end up first. Florida might end up first. So we might not even – everybody says, oh, you don't want to make the playoffs. Three to be four games and out with Tampa Bay. Well, maybe they would be – maybe we don't even play Tampa Bay the first round. Maybe we play Florida with two of their top players out. So you just don't know these things. You just don't know what kind of seeding you might get lucky with or unlucky with. So it's a matter of who gets the right breaks at the right team and the right team's there for you. That's what happened us years ago. Remember when we were in good shape and we ended up playing San Jose 2 years in a row and they had our number?
Yep.
You couldn't beat them forever. So you just never know these things. You do your best, you play the game and see what happens.
Oh, Zach, and I'm sure Tampa, may not have felt that way. I'm sure Columbus probably felt that way when they went in against them two years ago and swept them as the number one seed. So
took the words out of my mouth.
Sorry. great minds. Yeah. What's fascinating now, though, and I wrote about this today on my blog on Hockey Buzz, and it's fascinating because there's a couple of words that we can put together right now that if you've told me, even 4 weeks ago that I would be using the words lethal power play all together, referring to the Nashville Predators, I think you'd be calling the guys in the little white coats and the sleeveless jackets. I mean, Zach, this team has all of a sudden really put together some nice special teams work.
All of a sudden, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Eli Tolvanen has arrived, and here is the power play. I was a little scared when Forsberg went down that you would see that production dip, but boy, Callie Yarncroke has stepped in and just done yeoman's work in that position, and seeing Tolvanen take that spot as kind of the blue line trigger man on this power play has just been really exciting to see. I was always envious of Washington having just a guy set up in the OV spot named Ovechkin and just let him rip. And now we kind of got one of our own, and I am here for it.
Yeah, so can we rename it the Tolvi spot?
I think we can do better on the name, but, he's got to score a few more goals before that becomes his thing, so.
Well, it's also, he's a left-hand shot, and he's shooting left-handed there, whereas the other guys are shooting the puck on a one-timer from the left side over to the right side for the right side over the left side for a one-timer. So he's even shooting it harder because he's getting it by goalies that are seeing the puck and seeing it more than they do from Ovechkin and all the guys that shoot from Weber and Shea Weber and those guys that shoot from that side. Tolvanen is shooting from that side, but he's shooting it with a left-hand shot. That's unbelievable that he's doing that.
Again, it's, and you look at now the contributions that are happening across the lineup. And I don't know if it's the magic of coming back from an injury or what, but Luke Cunnan last night, I mean, again, breaks straight down Broadway, splits the D and boom, ties the game up. I mean, unfortunately left with when a puck caught him flush on the ear, which if you've ever caught something, hard, to your ear when it's cold out. That's not fun. And he was certainly leaking leaving the ice last night. And the other concern, and we're going to talk more about injuries, you know, as this show goes on. But the other concern, Dante Fabbro, there really hasn't been any updates on that either. So that, you know, who knows, maybe that changes some of the strategy with the upcoming trade deadline, Zach.
You know, Luke Cunningham has been one of those sneaky good pickups that I think you forget just how young he is. He's only 23 years old. And, you know, we decried the whole, where's the youth movement when Cunningham was getting a chance in this lineup. And I think you can solidly include him in those kids who are performing. Yes, this team is being decimated by injuries, and that's absolutely playing a factor. And I think, if anything, it is just a credit to Carl Taylor and the farm system, the Chicago Wacky. Exactly. Yeah. The whole gang over there is just really doing yeoman's work right now in order to get these guys ready and coming up here and ready to play Nashville Predator hockey.
Well, guys, we are off and running on this edition of Slapshot Radio, the pre-trade deadline edition of SSR. And coming up next, we're going to be talking to the king of hockey rumors, Eklund, the founder of HockeyBuzz.com, going to be joining us. You know, they've been with us since day one of the show, the premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Great staff, comfortable environment. I'm telling you, they take great care of your teeth. And, you know, they offer all the latest dental technology, including in-office whitening, sedation dentistry. You know what? Good health depends on good oral health. And I'm telling you, the folks at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry just know what they're doing when it comes there. You can check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles.
If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be.
That's Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Kenny pulling out some of both kinds of music.
Yeah.
And Western.
Yeah.
On Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Paul McCann, Zach McCann, Brent Peterson coming at you. You're in the rocking chair of the hockey block here on 102.5 The Game. Penalty Box Radio coming up at 8 o'clock. And what, pleased to welcome back to the office, you know, my boss, the guy that I've been writing for years, one of his first bloggers.
Absolutely.
Yep, this is, and it's been a fun ride. There's no question about that. The founder and of HockeyBuzz.com, the king of hockey rumors, it's Eklund. Eck, welcome back to Slapshot Radio.
Welcome back, blogger number six. You're number six on the 80-some people we've had. You're number six.
Number
on the
six,
list.
Man.
Pretty good. Pretty like good.
That.
Pretty good.
Like that.
Only like Howard Berger and a couple other people in front of you.
Yeah, I was gonna say like I'm like you. Yeah. so Eck, this is your stock and trade. You know, right before trade deadline, you know, your sleep goes away, your phone goes crazy. You know, you make sure it's continually plugged in. So tell me, did you have any inkling that this deal was going down for Zajac?
Zajac was a little surprising, although not when you look at Lou Lamoriello. You know, it's like he loves his guys, right? So he is as pure of a, you know, of a naturalist as you can get when it comes to his guys. Like these are two of his, wherever Lou goes, he has a core. He has like five guys that are his core. These two were part of his core at the, you know, and he knows these guys. So this is at the very end of his. These guys have been around forever in New Jersey. They're part of that group, and I like it. I mean, it's a great move, and it's a move that the Islanders kind of had to make. You know, they're close. They could actually win it all, and you got to do it.
Well, I mean, you look at that move, and it's certainly, you know, Lou's doing the moves necessary, and I think Barry Trotz will certainly utilize them appropriately. Yeah. We're on the line with Eklund from HockeyBuzz.com. Zach, what do you got for Eck?
Well, it seems like the recent winning streak has kind of thrown things into chaos for the trade deadline, with the Nashville Predators deciding, we don't want to write this year off after all. Have you heard anything when it comes to the Preds? What's going down on 501 Broadway that they're not telling me?
Well, I was looking at you guys as sellers for the longest freaking time, but, suddenly things have changed, and one interesting thing's happened, and that really did mess up everybody because, Ekholm was the number one guy out there, and people were looking at him, and suddenly, he was gone. Although, I did hear, when the Flyers were absolutely talking about Nolan Patrick for Ekholm. There's no question about that in my head. Down in the building, I heard that from really good sources. But the price was so high for Ekholm, they started talking about Ellis instead of Ekholm, the Flyers did. But at that point, about 2 or 3 days later, you guys were back in the playoff race, so it didn't matter. And I like it. And David Poile's not one to sell in the playoff race. He's going to go for it. And the real interesting name that came down for Nashville the last couple of hours, or the last day or so, is a guy that the Islanders were looking at when they weren't, and the Islanders were doing this to kind of like keep the Devils honest, but it got into this kid's head, and that is Dustin Brown from the LA Kings. Okay, he's a guy who, he's been on the Kings forever. The Kings, he's got this year. He's got one more year. He's $5.6 million cap hit, but only $3 million cash next year. And he, never thought he'd get traded, but they started talking to him about it. They started saying, maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time. And when a player starts doing that, to go to the Islanders, it's not that far of a stretch now, I was told, that another team that would definitely talk to Brown would be the Predators.
Wow, that one's interesting and kind of surprising, actually. Mm-hmm. But you also look at this team, not sure when a Brad Richardson is back in the lineup. You wonder if Dustin Brown is able to take that role. But I'm going to throw this over to Brent. Brent, when you're looking at something like this, there's probably a big temptation to stand pat right now with the way this team is playing.
I think you're right, but I don't think David can stand pat. I think he has to do something. I really do. And even though they're playing very well, I think he has to do something. Even if it's I don't know.
So the interesting Pete though, when you look at the rumor chart, and obviously, the big name on there was Ekholm, and the percentages have dropped across the board, and Nashville now the highest percentage on there. But the other name that you've got on there is Mikael Granlund. But one more time, it looks like it's a better chance to stay in Nashville than move.
Yeah. Although that's a different one, I think, than Ekholm, and I think that he would make that move if it's a player per player type deal, that he thinks somebody's better suited for him than Granlund. They signed Granlund relatively reluctantly, I would say, to start the season.
And cheaper.
And cheaply, but not really cheap, but cheaper. I think that there are some teams, this is the kind of guy that I could see going for a Dustin Brown in a deal like that, because I think that this is the kind of thing that I could see that move. And Brown, he's had a heck of a year, and he's a scorer. He's a captain. He's a leader. I'm not saying that he's the guy, but he's definitely one of those guys that interests me. And I think is a Predator type player that would really, I think Nashville fans would eat up. I think they would absolutely eat him up.
Boy, that a fascinating opportunity there. So what is the other, a rumor that you're hearing right now that is just fascinating the heck out of you?
Well, the one thing that's really tricky is Josh Manson, right? Anaheim. You guys have seen, you've seen him over the years. His value is going sky high. He's obviously a tough guy, a really strong player. But I think he's in a battle between like three teams: Winnipeg, Philly, and Boston. Three teams that all wanted Ekholm at one point. Now, looking at Josh Manson as a possible replacement. I mean, the Flyers are very much, people are in Philly want them to be sellers right now. And they're, I was down there last night. They're still not admitting to being sellers at all. So he's the name. And what the other, but the really fascinating thing is the lack of any kind of really momentum for Taylor Hall anywhere in the league. Finally tonight I'm hearing, okay, Winnipeg, Blake Wheeler goes out with an injury.
Yep.
Maybe Winnipeg turns around and says, okay, Taylor Hall, but man, they are trying to create a market for Taylor Hall, and there just isn't one for a guy who just has two goals this year, you know, and it hasn't been really successful the last 3 years. There's not much going on for him at all.
Interesting on that one. We're on the line with Eklund from HockeyBuzz.com here on Slapshot Radio. Brent, you got a question for Eck.
Hey, Eck, with the situation in Vancouver, how's that going to affect the trade deadline? How does Vancouver make a trade?
I don't think they can. I mean, and you know, like a guy like Alex Edler was definitely rumored.
Right.
You know, Vertanen was rumored. There's guys out there that were, no question, you know, going to possibly be going somewhere. They can't do anything. I mean, you know, Brandon Sutter, you know, another one, Tanner Pearson, they've got players if they were out of it. And I don't, you know, honestly, when you talk to people around the league, you know, they're everyone's being optimistic, but really, the real deep thing is like they don't think they're going to be able to play again this year, honestly. And it's horrible to say, but I would put better than 50-50 odds that they don't play again this year. And if that's the case, then how can any of these players, you know, especially players who are, you know, have COVID now, how can you, this, they don't just have COVID, you know, they have COVID symptoms too. They're not asymptomatic, these players.
Yeah.
It's a problem. It's a real problem.
Oh man, it's funny. I did want to get into the Vancouver situation, and for those not familiar, 21 players have now been on the COVID list or have COVID symptoms. Include and added to that, 4 members of the coaching staff, equipment staff. I mean, this is kind of the NHL's worst nightmare, and honestly, kind of surprised that it took this long.
See, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, it is amazing that we didn't have this happen, and it's kind of fortunate that it happened to maybe a team that's pretty much out of the playoffs, and a team that, you know, how many more games would they have played that would have maybe mattered? I mean, it's a shame. I mean, they're a better team than this. Obviously, they had injuries all year. They'll be back. They'll be a force. But this is a bad year for them, and you know, it's a shame. It really is a shame. But it is surprising. I'm shocked that we're looking at everybody playing 56 games still. That's what they're talking about. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen in the North, but I think that everybody else will, which is incredible.
No question about it. One last question for X, Zach. How about it?
You know, the team that I am just fascinated with right now is the one in your neck of the woods, the Philadelphia Flyers. What the heck is going on with Carter Hart?
Oh man, Carter's a great kid. Like, no one does more in the community. And he's one of the youngest players in the team. I just like love the kid. Absolutely love him. He's a very mental kid, very much inside his head. And he just took on so much pressure this year, and it just got too much for him. And they sat him down for a while. And honestly, the last 2 games, he came back. He's lost both of them. He lost the Islanders in overtime. He lost the Bruins last night, barely. He's been much better. I think he'll be fine. I think the Flyers need to bring in defense to help support him for sure. They can't, this is a goalie. They've had their goalie issues. They can't let this one slip. You know, they need to help their goalie out. They can't just expect the goalie to come and save the day all the time, you know? And I think he'll be fine, but the Flyers, you know, coaching situations, that's another story, but I think goaltending, Hart will be okay.
You know, it is fascinating because as a longtime Flyer fan, you know, ever since, I mean, literally ever since, you know, ever since Pelle Lindbergh's death,
yep,
this team has always seemed to have goaltending drama. They just haven't been able to solve that. I mean, the only thing close to it was Ron Hextall.
Yeah, he was close, but you know, and he was, but he was short lived. You know, like, I mean,
right.
he was good, but they traded him. Remember, in the Lindros trade, you know, so it, you know, he was out of here pretty quickly. So like the whole thing, you know, really, I remember one time someone said that there was a time Marty Brodeur played in New Jersey, the Flyers had 24 goalies. Like, so like, if you think about that, like Brodeur is the one goalie for the New Jersey Devils, right? At 90 miles up the turnpike, and the Flyers had 24 goalies.
Had a revolving door going. Well, Eck, we always love having you. We're going to have you back in the next week or two so we can talk about the trades that didn't happen. Always
absolutely.
Always one of our favorite episodes here on Slapshot Radio. We certainly appreciate you joining us tonight. Hey, make sure you read them at hockeybuzz.com, and you can click on my ugly mug every now and again and read mine as well. Eck,
you're great, Ed. You're awesome.
Thank you so much for appearing. Say hi to Eric and the gang for me, okay?
Got it. Of course.
All right. Take
Thank
care.
You so much for having me.
All righty. Eklund from HockeyBuzz.com on with us. And hey, I do want to talk to you about Carter Church from KW Murfreesboro. Now, Carter's, I've known him for a little while since he's been, as we worked together for the Predators. And, you know, I've seen how Carter's over 20 years of media and marketing experience has driven his proven success as a real estate agent. You need Carter on your team. You can call him today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. In this overheated market, you've got to get Carter on your side. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044, and we'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 1025 The Game. Oh man, Kenny, just doing a good job on the Wheels of Steel behind the glass here in the palatial 102.5 The Game studios. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, Brent Peterson coming at you with Slapshot Radio in the rocking chair of the hockey block. And boys, I mean, the interesting piece, I do want to talk a little bit about the Vancouver situation, because this has to be part of the NHL's worst nightmare. I mean, I was kind of surprised, if you think about it, the NHL kind of followed what happened in Major League Baseball last year. You saw, you know, the Miami Marlins, you know, break stupid at the beginning of the season, you know, not really pay attention to any kind of the COVID protocols. And, but everyone seemed to figure it out. And I mean, we've had minor little outbreaks, but this one impacting an entire team the way it is. And guys, it's not only impacting the Vancouver Canucks. It's also impacting the Utica Comets, their AHL affiliate. They've got 10, 12 guys in COVID protocol. So, I mean, this is one of those things that, I mean, you look at and go, I mean, Zach, do you see a possibility of Vancouver actually returning to play?
I mean, it's hard. The season's supposed to be over in a month, and you need to have them, you know, at least 10 days symptom-free before they can be in contact with people. It's a bad situation. And it's even more shocking that it happened in Canada for the North Division. That's the real surprising part to me. I'd have thought it'd been one of the American teams, if I'm, you know, being 100% honest here. But honestly, I do not see how the Canucks, you know, end up playing another game. I think they're kind of out of it anyway. I believe they're 8 points out of the four spot right now. Mm-hmm. But it's the other teams who still had games against them who are going to be the ones who are going to be kind of wrathful about that. But you chalk it up as a win in their book for anyone there, which I'm sure is not ideal for anybody. And maybe you just go off points percentage. I don't know what the plan is, but
You know what? Here's the thing though. If you go by points percentage, if you go by points, Vancouver's in fifth, 8 points out right now with two games in hand? No, I'm sorry. Let me make sure. Actually,
no, Montreal has two games.
Montreal has two games in hand on them. So they're 8 points out with Montreal with two games in hand on them. Yeah. I mean, that's tough. So if you look at that, so points, okay, you're 8 points back. Go to points percentage. It's even worse for them. Montreal's at a 614, where Vancouver's at a 473. I mean, either way you look at it, I mean, tough situation for the NHL. And honestly, I'm just glad that the last two teams that played Vancouver haven't really shown any of that same breakout. So that's good. So let's return a little bit to the Central Division, because Coach, I look at this and, you know, people have said, "Oh, you're crazy," but honestly, you know, I think that the way that these teams are kind of shuffling around, Tampa's come back down to earth. You figure Florida's got to come back to earth after the injuries that they have experienced. You know, Carolina, who knows? They've got a great points percentage. I mean, you know, is there a chance to crack that top three by any of the teams chasing here?
I don't think there's any chance at all that somebody's from 5, 4, 5, 6, and 7 can even get up to where three are. And I think those three could end up 1, 2, or 3 in any position. But I think the fourth place team is too far back to catch them. But because they're going to win a majority of their games, just like they have so far. So, and if they don't, they get cold, and maybe you can catch them. But I just think that it's too there's too far to go. And the thing that I'm excited about is, you know, maybe we play better against Carolina. Maybe we play better against Florida. Maybe if we get the right slot and the right team to play in the first round of the playoffs, you can do anything.
Well, right.
If you get the wrong team, wrong team that's hot or whatever and has a good goalie in that or whatever. And that's where Carolina's a little bit suspect in goaltending. A little bit with Mrazek in there. He's back. He looks like he's playing okay. And it looks like their team plays hard in front of all their goalies. So that might not be the team. But I'm just saying, I think the first three are set, but the last one, the next ones are just, they're just going for that one spot.
And Brent, you talk about Carolina. I mean, Zach, you know, the interesting piece is the only holes in that Carolina team, the only question mark that I look at there is between the pipes.
Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, that young goaltender they've got playing right now has been doing some excellent work for them right now. But you look at the schedule that the Predators have right now. They've got 8 games against the top 3 in the division and then 8 games against everyone below them as well. So you'd still have some opportunity to really get some decent points against them. Luckily, you're done with the Lightning after the 13th. Thank God. See you later. Maybe see you in the playoffs. But honestly, I mean, you still have, you know, 3 games against the Blackhawks you've got to win. And if you can take down those, if you can sweep the Blackhawks this year, then I think that gets you in playoff position.
You know, and again, that's being very, very optimistic. Mm-hmm. But they have seemed to have owned the Blackhawks this year to a degree. But you sweep those 3 games, that's a 12-point swing. And I don't care what division you're in and who you're playing, especially when you don't – I think those are the last 3 against Chicago, isn't it? Yeah.
Those are.
Those are the last 3 against Chicago. If you sweep those, you're done. You might as well pencil out the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, Dallas still worries me a little bit.
Yeah, they worry me.
They do worry me a little bit. And, well, okay, Brent, so why does Dallas worry you?
Because they have our number, and they didn't have our number until about 2 years ago. And when they beat us out in the playoffs, all of a sudden they're confident they can beat us anytime they see us. And we used to beat them all the time. They used to play such poor defensive hockey. Now they're playing great defensive hockey and not scoring any. Their big scorers are not scoring, but they are playing the way that the coach wants them to play. And they're tough to beat. They're a good team. They're a good hockey team with those 2 guys on the back end. And you both the goaltending is so, but they're just a good solid team all the way around, right up and down the line. Up to Belsky, heck of a player.
You know, they may have our number, but I think we're the only team whose number they've got. The Dallas Stars have lost 10 games in overtimes and shootouts this year. They've only won 13 games so far. That's a team that I think is only in it. It's fool's gold, I think, with the Dallas Stars right now.
Well, they're hoping that they get it against us, and that's what they do.
Well, they've only got 2 games more against us, so that's all they've got left in the hopper, and I believe we're 6 ahead of them right now. So
actually 7.
Well, even better. You know, at that rate, you know, if you can split
the rest. How many games do they have?
They've got 3.
Wow.
So you split with Dallas. I mean, I do think that this 4 spot is Nashville's to lose right now.
Well, they're in control. They're on destiny, no question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go ahead.
With the way that they've been playing and the way that they have just been, you know, stepping up whenever a player goes down, a kid comes in and then takes off with that. And just the way that you still have some consistency in the lineup, like the bottom 6, I think, has been playing terrifically during this entire streak and has been kind of the unheralded heroes. I mean, the 4th line, I could talk about them forever. They're fantastic. I really enjoy the work that the 3rd line is doing as well. And it's just going to be interesting to see what happens when some of these injured guys start coming back next week.
Well, they can get practice. They can still practice, you know.
Oh, I mean, and you do look at it though and go, gosh, I mean, and Brent, you and Barry and the coaching staff have dealt with this issue before. You have multiple injured players coming back, you know, and how do you work them in the lineup, especially if the team's going well?
Yeah, it's really a hard thing to posture at. It's really a hard thing to get to. You got the guys coming back who need to play. They need to play more than the other guys because they're coming back from injuries. And the other two guys are playing well right now. And you got to get them, you know, the only guy I really know we have to get back and get going is Forsberg. The other guys are sort of, you know, Forsberg's one guy you need to win. And you don't need, we're winning without him, but you still need Philip Forsberg to be your top player. Him and Tolvanen are now the two top players on the team. And Yossi's the third. Yossi's three, and Ekholm's four. And though that's our core now. That's our core, young core, pretty good young core. And then you got Yossi and Net. There's five. There's five quality players you can work around. But you got to get the right players in there. And obviously, they didn't have us come in for the coaches meeting in the summertime to set the lines because they never got the lines that we liked. But they finally got the one line right, Zach. They got the fourth line right. We've been begging for them to do that forever.
Well, the interesting piece on this, and Zach is thrilled with that, and you know, but the interesting piece of all of this, and I want to talk about this when we come back after the break, but the real interesting piece is how much more dangerous does Elie Tolvanen become with a healthy Philip Forsberg in the lineup, especially with the confidence that he's building right now. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment right here on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Begging you, wait, can you turn around, just wait, can we work this out?
Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, the free trade deadline edition. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, Brett Peterson coming at you in the rocking chair of the Hockey Block. Penalty Box Radio up next at 8 p.m. And guys, so if you're, you know, I want to crown you Predators GM for 5 minutes. Brent, do you make a move at this trade deadline? And if you do, is it going to be minor, middling, or major?
I think you have to make some kind of move, even if it was minor, but I'd make a move that was middle of the road move, fifth defenseman, fourth defenseman, or even a ninth forward or eighth forward, something like that.
Okay.
They play regular, but we got all those kind of guys already. So David's hands are really tied right now because guys that he wants to, or he doesn't want to trade these guys, but he wants, they're available for trade. And you heard Eklund say how much Philadelphia wanted Ellis. Well, right now between Ekholm and Ellis, if you're going to trade one of them, I would trade Ellis, but yeah. I might be wrong too.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that.
Ellis has played great for us for years. He's been a player for us. So, but at times you got to go somewhere and you got to make a move, and somehow it just doesn't seem fair. But it's the way it is, and it's a business too. So,
Zach,
the thing
minor, middling, or major?
Well, I think you're probably going to see middling, and the thing, here's the reason why. You cannot forget that there is an expansion draft looming at the end of this year. And who are you going to protect is the real question. Because if you do a 4-4 and you protect, you know, Yossi, Ellis, Ekholm, Fabro, that's basically saying, yep, we're committing to signing Ekholm long-term. And frankly, that's the right move in my eyes. But if you do that, you're going to lose a Victor Arvidsson, a Cali Yarncroak, a Colton Sissons, perhaps even a Matt Duchene or a Ryan Johansson. Some people might call that addition by subtraction, but if you decide to part with an Ellis or an Ekholm now for a King's ransom, then that allows an open spot for a Carrier to step in who has proven he can handle top 4 minutes, and it allows you to protect some more of those assets in the top of the lineup as well.
You're describing a major move, though. You're describing a major move, Zach.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I guess then, yeah, major, whatever, fine.
Okay,
all
right.
Fine. What do you think?
I don't know how much major. Major, it is sort of middle of the road trade because Ryan Ellis is a great player, a great person, and he's been quality for us for years. But he's been hurt a lot. Now he's been hurt a lot in the last few years, and he's smaller, and that doesn't go for the the grind of a playoff series, or, you know, you got Ekholm compared to him, size and everything on one side, and Smarts on the other side with a good shot and everything. So it's a tough call. Don't get me wrong. It's a tough call. Yeah. 2 months ago, I might have, before Ellis was gone or before he got hurt, I might have said Ellis over Ekholm, or Ekholm over Ellis, would trade Ekholm over Ellis. But now, with the way things have gone now, and Zach set it up perfectly with the expansion draft, we have to, I think that's the way to go.
You know, it is interesting. And I think, honestly, I think it's going to be minor. I don't think you're going to see a major name move. You might see, you might see a Nick Cousins. You might see a, people keep talking about Mikhail Granlund. The way that man is playing right now, I think you just, I mean, I get it. 1 year, you may not have him next year. He may leave as a free agent. You may get a little something for him, but I think he's worth more in the lineup right now than for what you could get from him.
I think they're going to sign him long-term. It's just a feeling I have. He's loved in the locker room. Hines was glowing about him in his press conference today, saying the leadership role that he's taking on would not shock me to see him stay in this team for a while.
So then you look at, you know, what other players, and again, so if you're looking at holding on to him, how do you protect him? Do you leave him? I mean, do you have a, you know,
you don't have to, he's expiring.
A handshake agreement. To say, mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to sign you here, but we're going to wait till after the expansion draft.
Yeah.
Which would be an interesting way to go. So when you look at all of these things together, it's going to be a very, very interesting trade deadline for Pred Nation, because, you know, there's always those folks that want to make sure, oh, they have to make a move. You have to make a move. And in this case, I mean, you know, Brent, you said it earlier in the show, the additions are Duchesne and Ellis and Richardson, and, you know, and the ones that are on that are
Forsberg.
You know, maybe he might be a little bit of an addition too. I mean, so when you look at that group, you know, that you've got in the gun, you know, recovering, I kind of look at it and go, it wouldn't surprise me if this team stands pat.
I think that might be the right move. I think I agree with you there. And not only that, I don't know if Brad Richardson has a place in this lineup when he returns.
From a wheels perspective, I absolutely agree with you. I'm one of these guys that, you know, I do like a little bit of grit. I like a little bit of sandpaper, and I like a little bit of size. And you know what? Richardson has all three. So, you know, not afraid to go to the middle of the net. And actually, I was kind of impressed with how he utilized his lack of speed well with this organization.
Nothing against Brad Richardson, but it's just effervescent praise for the job that Colton Zizens has done in that four spot.
No question. So, Brent, Zach, when we sit down here a week from tonight, we'll be looking at a trade deadline that's completed. Hopefully we have some more news out of Vancouver. Brent, you know, what does this team need to do? You've got the Stanley Cup sandwich coming up. And honestly, it's now becomes the more critical three-game series that you're going to see for honestly for the rest of the season. What do you think?
It's going to be a tough go for him, but everybody's in the same boat.
Yep.
You know, everybody's got two or three positions salted away in each division. I don't know what's going to happen in the Canadian division or the whatever North. Division, all that mm-hmm. in the North. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that sort of shocks me why how they could get 21 people with COVID, because every player is tested every day, and then they get it back the next day. So they must have all had it or all got it at the same time, because I thought the K Baden names all week, lists all week, but everybody gets tested every day. And I guess some symptoms must show up later or earlier than you think.
Mm-hmm. Zach, what do you think you see this weekend?
I think you're probably going to see a Predators team that is ready to go, I think they're going to win at least one of the games against the Lightning. And I do think that they are going to beat the Stars on Sunday. I think you're going to see Pecorine come out with something to prove on Sunday night's game. So that would not shock me to see them over the next four games go 3-1.
The teams, I will tell you, that team always, the goaltending is always better when they're pushing each other. Well, guys, yeah, that's going to do it for tonight. We certainly appreciate you joining us on Slapshot Radio. And we're back next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. A big thank you to the king of hockey rumors, Eklund with HockeyBuzz.com. A big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations, and Carter Church, your real estate expert at KW Murfreesboro. When you visit one of our sponsors, please make sure you tell about them. You heard about them on Slapshot Radio, and thank them for their support. For our producer, Kenny, and our co-hosts, Brett Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.